And when we lined up for medication, McMurphy came by and asked the little nurse with the crucifix and the birthmark if he could have a couple of vitamins. She looked surprised and said she didn't see that there was any reason why not, and gave him some pills the size of birds' eggs. He put them in his pocket. "Aren't you going to swallow them?" she asked. "Me? Lord, no, I don't need vitamins. I was just getting them for Billy Boy here. He seems to me to have a peaked look of late. Tired blood, most likely."
"Then why don't you give them to Billy?"
"Oh, I will, honey, I will, but I thought I'd wait till about midnight when he'd have the most need for them."
And walked to the dorm with his arm crooked around Billy's flushing neck, giving Harding a wink and me a goose in the side with his big thumb as he passed us, and left that nurse pop-eyed behind him in the nurse's station, pouring water on her foot. You have to know about Billy Bibbit. In spite of him having wrinkles in his face and specks of gray in his hair, he still looked like a kid, like a jug-eared and freckle-faced and buck-toothed kid whistling barefoot across one of those calendars with a string of bullheads dragging behind him in the dust. And yet he was nothing like this. You were always surprised to find when he stood up next to one of the other men he was just as tall as anyone, and that he wasn't jug-eared or freckled or buck-toothed at all under a closer look, and was, in fact, 30-some years old. I heard him give his age only one time, overheard him, to tell the truth, when he was talking to his mother down in the lobby. She was a receptionist down there, a solid, well-packed lady with hair revolving from blonde to blue to black and back to blonde again every few months, a neighbor of the big nurse's, from what I'd heard, and a dear personal friend. Whenever we'd go on some activity, Billy would always be obliged to stop and lean a scarlet cheek over that desk for her to dab a kiss on. It embarrassed the rest of us as much as it did Billy, and for that reason nobody ever teased him about it, not even McMurphy. One afternoon, I don't recall how long back, we stopped on our way to activities and sat around the lobby on the big plastic sofas or outside in the 2 o'clock sun, while one of the black boys used the phone to call his bookmaker. And Billy's mother took the opportunity to leave her work and come out from behind her desk and take her boy by the hand and lead him outside to sit near where I was on the grass. She sat stiff there on the grass, tight at the bend of her short round legs out in front of her in stockings, reminding me of the color of bologna skins. And Billy lay beside her and put his head in her lap and let her tease at his ear with a dandelion fluff. Billy was talking about looking for a wife and going to college someday. His mother tickled him with the fluff and laughed at such foolishness.
"Sweetheart, you still have scads of time for things like that. Your whole life is ahead of you."
"Mother, I'm 31 years old."
She laughed and twiddled his ear with the weed.
"Sweetheart, do I look like the mother of a middle-aged man?"